John came.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. It is not often that we have an audience like this in the House Transportation and Economic Development Committee hearing. I would like to call this meeting to order this afternoon on this fine March 23rd, 2015, and give you all a very hearty welcome. We have a lot to do today, as you all well know. We will be hearing five bills. The order in which we are going to take these bills is first House Bill 3355, which is Trailblazers, then 3027, which is the Mount Hood Plate. Third, we will have House Bill 2686, which is Gray Whales. Fourth, we will have House Bill 3232, which is Breast Cancer Awareness. And batting cleanup, House Bill 2669 will be the Wildlife Conservation Plate. I'd like to first invite Amy Joyce from ODOT to come up and give us just a very brief overview of what we're going to be listening to today, and then we will move on with our full agenda.
Well, Chair McEwen and members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation, thanks for having me back again on Monday. They briefly reintroduced plates. We did a much longer presentation on Friday. Again, just to recap, we have two different types of fundraising plates under the Oregon statutes, specialty and group plates. They have different requirements, different benefits, and different costs. Those being whether legislation is required, whether there's a unique background or design to the plate, whether there's a maximum number of active plates at any one time. That's true of specialty, but not of group. Sales minimums, that applies to group and not specialty. Whether they're available for sale and display in the field offices, yes for specialty, not so for group. Whether you can have custom or vanity configuration, yes for specialty plates, no for group. And the startup costs range about $89,000 or so for specialty and about $45,000 or so for group plates. There's also a bit of a hybrid plate. You have one of those on your agenda today. That's the whale plate. It's technically under the group program, but is brought to you in statute, I think, to get the benefit of having that unique background. The 2003 legislature changed these plate programs to kind of rein them in and set that three at any one time specialty plate limitation. And then finally, costs. These are not eligible for highway funds under Oregon's Constitution. Those are constitutionally dedicated funds. Therefore, costs for startup and also the ongoing administration of this fundraising nature of these plates has to be borne in some other way, whether from the organization, the general fund, some other place other than the highway fund. So that's your two-minute recap of plates.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Joyce. And committee members, you will find in your packets today a chart that we put together. Just tells you about all five of the bills, the differences between them, what is required to move them, who the sponsors are, statutory considerations. So hopefully this will kind of give you the game time lineup for today. We have five esteemed panels who are coming before us today, and we would like to call up our first panel. I will open up a hearing on House Bill 3555. And I think we'll dispense with the description. I think we all know what we're here to do today, and we'll welcome Representative Brent Barton to tee this off with Chris McGowan, Bill Shonley, and Michael Llewellyn.
Thank you, Chair McEwen, members of the House Transportation Committee. Thank you for having us. For the record, I am Brent Barton. I represent Oregon House District 40. And I would like to say a couple things briefly and then pass it off to Representative Rayfield and then invite or introduce four people who are going to come up and talk to the merits of this bill with your permission, Madam Chair.
Thank you, certainly.
Thank you. So Oregon is actually one of four states that does not have a specialty license plate to celebrate its professional sports teams. Currently, two-thirds of NBA teams in the United States have license plates in which fans can honor both their team in a unique way and provide money to a worthwhile cause. For example, in Alabama, they actually have 124 plates available, including ones for individual NASCAR drivers. Florida has 121 available plates, including ones for all of its professional sports teams. Texas has 400 plate options, plus a way for residents to design a custom plate. And in New York, they have 233 plate options. And actually, in New York, you can get a Portland Trailblazers license plate. You can do so in the state of New York, and we think it's time to bring that in Oregon as well. In short, this bill is not really about selling advertisements to a company or for a company. It's about celebrating the Portland Trailblazers, which is more than a Portland team. It really is Oregon's team. I, of course, grew up in Newport. The Blazers represent something almost sacred to me, something very important. And having said that, I'd like to tell you a bit about the four people who will join us this panel after Representative Rayfield speaks. First, you'll hear from Chris McGowan, who is the CEO of the Portland Trailblazers and as such is in charge of the business operations, not just of the Trailblazers, but really the Moda Center and indeed the Rose Quarter generally. You will also hear from a person that I was just downright giddy to meet today, and that is Bill Shonley, the Shons, the man who coined the term a rip city. And I'm pleased to say that when he talks, he really does sound like that. It's fabulous. Also available, not necessarily available to answer any questions, will be Michael Llewellyn, who is a senior vice president with the Portland Trailblazers of corporate communications and comes to us with background in Nike, Turner Sports, Fox Sports, Black Entertainment Television, and NBC Universal, as well as Krista Torres, who is the executive director of the Portland Trailblazers Foundation. And again, thank you for the time today and the courtesy in hearing this.
Certainly. Thank you for being here. Yeah. Representative Rayfield.
And so for the record, Dan Rayfield, State Representative in House District 16, Corvallis Philomath, Oregon State University. And all I wanted to do is kind of talk about very briefly about why I wanted to sponsor this bill and why it was important. And I think Representative Barton touched on that a little bit. But growing up, I went to many playoff games when Clyde Drexler was there. And there, you know, throughout my entire life, I think Representative Barton touched on that. This is Oregon's team in a lot of ways. This brings people together. And not only is it, you know, about a community, what the Portland Trailblazers do in the community is phenomenal. The mentorship that they provide, all of the things in the community are fantastic. And I think this is another way for them to continue to build community here in Oregon and expand that further out as well as bring Oregonians closer together. But I'm certainly not going to say it as good as they will, so I will keep it short. Thank you.
Thank May you. We bring them up, Madam Chair?
Certainly. Thank you. Gentlemen, welcome to our committee.
Thank you.
And please, in any order that you choose.
Great. Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Chris McGowan. I'm the CEO of the Portland Trailblazers. Chair McEwen and committee members, thank you so much for the opportunity to brief you on what we feel is a new level of fan expression, which could also benefit the state of Oregon. That's the first ever Portland Trailblazers specialty license plate. We're fortunate to have the support of arguably the most passionate and loyal fan base in the entire NBA. Some say we have the best fans in all professional sports. My career has allowed me to experience fans of teams literally around the world, and I can say without hesitation that Rip City, Oregon is a very special place. We should all be very proud. At the Trailblazers, we're dedicated to making Oregon a better place for children and families where they live, learn, and play. This season, we'll give hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash and over $1 million in in-kind donations, including time and support from our players, coaches, and staff to schools and nonprofit organizations around the state. Every day, we are working to build thriving communities, support key educational benchmarks, including third grade reading and high school graduation, and inspire kids and families to be more active. When the idea surfaced internally 18 months ago, about ways to grow resources we distribute to deserving nonprofits and causes in Oregon, we envisioned something different, something that didn't already exist, and something that could allow our great fans to play an active role. The outcome of that thinking and planning has eventually led us here today to seek legislative support for the Trailblazers specialty license plate. As you know from House Bill 3355, proceeds from those plates will be channeled to benefit those community-based organizations taking on issues large and small across the state. Funds from proceeds of the license plate will go to the Trailblazers Foundation to increase our statewide granting to 501c3 nonprofit organizations. Fans purchasing the license plates from around the state would be funding work in communities across the state as well. Over 50% of our foundation grants will go to schools, nonprofits, and students outside of the Portland this season. And there is unlimited opportunity to grow our giving to benefit more kids and families in traditionally underserved communities. All that really limits us are boundaries to our imaginations. But first and foremost, the resources need to be created. Again, thank you for including us in your busy legislative schedules. We don't just see this, we don't just see the Trailblazers as Portland's team, they're Oregon's team. I will now turn it over to perhaps the most recognizable voice in all of Oregon. He's a true treasure in our Trailblazers history. Here's the Shawns, Bill Shonley.
Oh, Chris.
Mr. Shonley, welcome to our committee
today. Thank you. Chair McEwen and members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. I've been a part of the great Trailblazer organization since 1970. As a matter of fact, I was the sixth person hired when Harry Glickman, who put the franchise together, gave me a call. He found out that I was not doing Major League Baseball or hockey at the time. I still had my radio and TV work up there. And he said, Shawns, how would you like to be the broadcaster for the Portland Trailblazers? I said, that sounds like a pretty good deal. He said, well, come on down and we'll talk. I came down to Portland. We spoke for about 5 minutes, shook hands, and that was 45 years ago.
Wow.
And it's been quite a run. But I'm not here as a politician today. Oh, there are quite a few people who affectionately call me the mayor of Rip City. I don't know if you've heard that or not. If I
Very
were,
apt,
it would be
yes.
different. But what I hope to do for a few minutes today is to speak as someone who knows the Portland Trailblazers, knows them well, and Trailblazer fans all over the state, all over the Pacific Northwest, and as years have gone on, all over the country, and for that matter, throughout the world right now. I'm proud of that. And to get right to the point, the Trailblazer fans love this team, and they love supporting the team and all the avenues that the organization is involved in. And like many of you here today, I've traveled to cities and towns in just about every corner of the state. Oregon is a very special place, and so are its people. My wife Donnie and I are proud to have called Oregon home for almost 50 years now. Chris McGowan, he is absolutely right. We engage our fans every single day. Talk with our fans, survey our fans, study our fans, listen to our fans. And there is hardly a move made on any front by the Trailblazers that doesn't have something in mind for our fans. I've spent time in every city with an NBA franchise, and believe me, that is not the case all over the country. This potential Trailblazer license plate is not meant to undercut other plates. I've got a plate that says Rip City on it. We got the only one in the state. That's pretty good. We're seeking a way for Trailblazer fans, perhaps some of you, or maybe some of your legislative colleagues, to show their Trailblazers pride, generate revenue for the state, and participate with us in helping the good works of deserving nonprofits around the state. As I've been involved in this process as a Trailblazer ambassador, I've learned more about Oregon's license plates and everyone else's plates than I ever thought I ever would. But not having a specialty plate that celebrates any professional sports teams, Oregon is in the minority right now. But in my mind, we're actually undeserving Oregon drivers by not offering at least the available option of a Trailblazers license plate. So thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. We look forward to a positive outcome of this initiative to further underscore that the Trailblazers aren't just Portland's team. That's true. They're Oregon's team. And this is people active. It's going to be. Charities are awarded. Funds prevail. So I speak to both sides of the aisle, if I may. As a body, I've said this for years, but if you get together and think about it and you make your free throws, we'll all be able to get it done. Thank you very much.
Oh, Mr. Shonley, thank you so much for being here. Mr. McGowan, Mr. Llewellyn, it's a delight. And we have a long way to go today, but we're just really honored to have you here today. And I'd like to, if you don't mind, open up, if you don't mind staying just a moment, if the panel has any questions for you, we'd like to have a few minutes for each panel. Vice Chair Davis.
Thank you, and thank you very much for testifying and being here today. Do you get a sense among the fan base for how many plates could be expected to be purchased?
Yes. Chair McEwen, Representative Davis, for the record, Michael Llewellyn, Vice President of Communications for the Portland Trail Blazers. We think the potential is there for this to be a six-figure yield in revenue. So in terms of number of plates specifically, no. But depending upon where in negotiation with ODOT, of course, where the surcharge and the price point is set, we think this has tremendous potential, especially in the early years when the plate is new and the novelty factor is there. And one thing that we do commit to do is that is to marshal our marketing resources behind the plate to ensure its success.
Thank you.
Quick follow-up.
Yes.
And as a follow-up to that, maybe one way to get at that question could be, I'm sure you have some quantified base of how large is your fan base and how far does it extend throughout the state. You may not have those numbers here today, but that might be nice to share.
We definitely have the numbers, and we can get those back to you. And it's, you know, it's obviously thousands and thousands of people. So we'll get those numbers for you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think Vice Chair Gorsuch also had a question, if you don't mind.
Actually, more of a comment. Mr. Shanley,
yeah.
I have listened to you for many years before your retirement. And not to cast any aspersions on
I'm
wheels.
I'm not retired yet.
Oh, well, I know. I mean from calling again. Not to cast any aspersions on wheels and rice. I mean, they're wonderful. But I have many fond memories of listening to you. And your comment about you've got to make your free throws, yes, I remember that quite well. And I just wanted to express my sadness over the death of Jerome Kersey for the whole organization. And I just remember you always saying, mercy, mercy, Jerome Kersey. Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Vice Chair Gorsuch. And I will take to heart, sir, your comment. There are times in this building where it's appropriate to cross party lines, and this certainly is one of them.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Hack has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for being here to testify. We appreciate it very much. I have a question in regards to the funds that you will earn from the license plates and the distribution of those across our state. You had indicated that 50% of the funds will be distributed outside of Portland. And I don't know if you're referring to your foundation funds or if you're referring to the funds that you will be generating from the license plates. So I'd just like to know if the funds will be distributed equally across our state or if you are planning to keep 50% of those funds just solely in Portland and then 50% will go outside of Portland.
Representative McEwen, Representative Pack, I'm Krista Torres with the Trailblazers Foundation. So the 50% is referring to this year. 50%, over 50% of our funds through the foundation are going to schools and nonprofits outside of Portland.
Okay.
And, you know, moving forward, we expect that number will stay at least at 50 or above. So we will consistently be giving at least 50% of our funding to outside the Portland area.
So just follow up?
Yes, ma'am.
So there's no guarantee that the amount of funds that you raise from the license plates, which would be from Oregonians all across our state, would mean there's no guarantee that those funds would be equally distributed across our state. So it could be that 50% of those do stay only in Portland and may not reach the rest of our state, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Chair McEwen, Representative Hack, the potential exists certainly for the funds to be spread literally to every corner of the state. I think what's important is that this will be an open grant application process, so it will quite frankly depend upon where the applications come from. We will encourage and promote the opportunities for applications to come literally statewide. So I would say I don't want to say that that's not the case because we could have a tremendous influx of applications from Southern Oregon or Eastern Oregon. I think that's sort of the question mark once the funds are created.
Just one more follow-up.
Thank you.
Very quickly, please. Do you have a policy that says that 50% of your funds stay in Portland and 50% go to the rest of the state? Is it open and it's just who applies? And so as long as folks apply, it would be equally divided amongst everyone so that there's a possibility that it could be that way, or could it be stated that that's the case?
We don't have a policy currently, but we could create one. I think it would depend a little bit also on where the funding is coming from for the license plate. So I don't actually know if we'll know exactly where the money is coming from. that's a question that I have. But when it comes to where the funding is going, it is dependent on who's applying. And then one of our filters and criteria is, you know, geographical diversity. So it is important to us, but we do not have a policy around the exact percentage of funding going outside of Portland and staying in Portland at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Enjoy your trip back. I think it's starting to rain hard, so I'm not sure we timed this quite very well for you, but we appreciate you being here this afternoon.
Thank you,
Mr. Shonley. I will close the hearing on House Bill 3355, and our next hearing on House Bill 3027 is now officially open, and I would like to call up Representative Johnson to start us off.
Higher and higher.
Welcome, Representative Johnson.
Chair McEwen, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mark Johnson, privileged to be the state representative for House District 52. And with that, I'll try to coin another Shonleyism and bring you the bill, lickety-brindle, right up the middle.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, committee members, And this is my.
Can I go first? I'm in the middle of it.
Yep.
Card.
Welcome, Senator. Representative Johnson, with your permission.
Granted.
Thank you, Senator Thompson.
Welcome, Senator.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm in the middle of a hearing, and if I don't get back, I'm going to get fired. But I wanted to be here to support my good high school friend and rep Mark Johnson. And this bill is very important. I talked to some folks from the area, and you know, up in the Welch's Mount Hood area, it's a bunch of small communities and very little resources. A lot of people come in and out, use the mountain and use the area. And this will really help the people in that area enhance trails and kind of move the tourist industry forward up there, and it'd be very helpful.
Thank
so
you.
Hope you support it. And it's it'll be a beautiful license plate, I'm assuming, of Mount Hood, right?
I think that's the general idea.
Help like this.
Thank you very much. Representative Johnson, that was lickety split.
Madam Chair, committee members, I was privileged to grow up in the shadow of the north side of Mount Hood in the community of Parkdale. And it was there that I began my lifelong attachment to Mount Hood and all that it has to offer. All of us who are longstanding residents of the Hood River Valley simply refer to Mount Hood as the mountain. Even though our valley is treated with wonderful views of Mount Hood to the south and majestic Mount Adams to the north, whenever a local says something like, "Hey, did you see all that fresh snow on the mountain today?" there's no doubt that they're referring to Mount Hood. And I'm sure this is equally true for the other communities that surround our mountain as well. Since Lewis and Clark first surveyed our glorious region and state back in the early 1800s, Mount Hood has captured the attention of all who have come this way. Throughout the 1800s and 1900s, Mount Hood grew to become the most recognizable symbol of our state, and with the growth of Portland just 50 miles away, became a magnet for a variety of outdoor recreational activities that continue to grow and flourish. And its snowfields and glaciers provide the vital runoff that sustains our world-class agriculture on all sides of the mountain. In 1937, Franklin Roosevelt, President Roosevelt came to dedicate Timberline Lodge, and I'll go off of memory. He said generations are going to come after us to avail themselves of the recreational opportunities on this mountain here at Timberline Lodge, and this will be throughout the seasons. It's going to be winter, it's going to be summer, and this is truly going to become a destination, and our president was prophetic, because that exactly is what happened, and that's what brings us to the present tense. This past fall, a constituent brought to my attention that there's never been an Oregon personalized license plate featuring Mount Hood. We have salmon, we have wine, we have Crater Lake, but there is no Mount Hood, and I was surprised. I mean, there's nothing. We've never honored Mount Hood's highest peak. We've never honored the place that has the only year-round ski resort in the U.S. great idea, what can I do to help? And that became House Bill 3027, which you find in front of you today. One of my great joys as the representative of House District 52 has been engaging in intentional efforts to try to create a sense of shared interest and collaboration with the various communities on all sides of the mountain. In recent years, we have seen tremendous growth in the recreational, biking, and pedestrian opportunities in the region. From the Sandy Ridge Mountain Bike Park system to the completion of the paved trail that now links Cascade Locks to Portland, and you'll notice perhaps on OLIS that we have actually a schematic from ODOT that talks about the trail that was just recently completed linking Portland to Cascade Locks and the proposed trail going all the way to the Dalles, actually, which would link that area as well. There's a huge and growing interest in developing biking and hiking opportunities to promote economic growth and tourism in the region. So we crafted House Bill 3027 so that any proceeds from the state sale of these plates will go back to the region through Travel Oregon, and they can award grants back to the area based on proposals that are brought to them from the region. So, Madam Chair and Committee, this bill, I believe, is certainly a win-win. It's a win for our region. It would be a win for the state of Oregon to at last have a plate that honors our timeless and treasured and transcendent icon of Mount Hood. So with that, we have some folks who have come here from the district to tell you about their excitement for this and how these resources could benefit them and their region. So
thank you, Representative.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
We will call up, I believe, two panels, Nancy D'Souza and George Wilson.
Yes.
And then after that, we will call Bob and Margaret Thurman and Maria Slater. Thank you for being here this afternoon.
Chair McEwen and members of the committee, my name is Nancy D'Souza. I'm the relatively new executive director of Oregon Travel Experience. Oregon Travel Experience is a separate state agency from Travel Oregon. We have the blessing of running the Heritage Tree, Heritage Marker programs, the Blue Logo Highway signs, and operating rest areas for ODOT and some others. When we saw House Bill 3027 drafted, sending the money from this license plate to us, we understood it was a drafting error and that the money really should be going to Travel Oregon, which handles the tourism piece. And so Representative Johnson asked that we be here today just to express our full support of, if you choose to move forward with this bill, that we are highly confident that Travel Oregon will do an excellent job in distributing those funds, but they do not appropriately belong with Oregon Travel Experience.
So I may assume that we may need an amendment to this bill should it be moving forward.
I believe there is one drafted already that may be available soon.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair McEwen, and the rest of the panel. My name is George Wilson. I'm a business owner for, I own Mount Hood Bicycle in Welch's. I also am the primary organizer for the Mount Hood Bicycle Pedestrian Coalition, and I'm also here to represent Velodirt and Oregon Bikepacking. And I'm here to endorse the House Bill 3027. I think that it certainly makes sense for rural communities specifically, although these funds will be generated throughout the state, the way I understand it. But for rural Oregonians, we've always had a significant problem trying to raise funds to enhance infrastructure that would enhance cycling tourism for our area. It certainly makes sense, being as how Travel Oregon has launched a campaign that identifies two of our landmarks in Oregon, which would be Mount Hood and the Columbia River Gorge. The two of those combined on one license plate would certainly be, I think, an item that people would be attracted to and would be willing to purchase. The important thing is that those funds come back to areas that have been struggling to try to develop infrastructure and improve safety. So we totally endorse House Bill 3027 and appreciate your time.
Great, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I believe we have maps of some pertinent bike infrastructure in front of us, too, that were submitted to us. Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel?
Oh, I just one brief one.
Yes, Vice Chair Gorsuch.
Are you tied in? I know that the Gresham Chamber of Commerce has been trying to create some interest around bicycle tourism or to enhance it. Are you tied in with that?
Yes, yes, we are. In fact, just had a meeting with the Gresham Chamber last week. Okay. They're absolutely instrumental in helping us move forward with what we feel will benefit both of us and everybody along the Mount Hood corridor. So the idea is to tap into cycling tourism and make it an international destination. And I think that this will be very helpful in helping us to do that.
Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And next, I would like to call up Bob and Margaret Thurman and Maria Slater. I hope I'm pronouncing these correctly. And for the committee, you'll notice that we have a number of letters that have been submitted to that are available for your reading pleasure. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you want me to go first?
Do you want to go first? Go ahead.
Madam Chair McEwen and members of the committee, I'm Marcy Slater. I live in Welch's on Mount Hood, and I'm representing the villages at Mount Hood Board of Directors. And we are an advisory board for Clackamas County Commissioners. And we 100% support House Bill 3027. We are a very small community that supports a very large tourism industry on Mount Hood, maybe one of the largest tour industries in the state. And we are part of the largest geographic county in the state. Most of the people that live in the community are supporting the tourism on the mountain, around the mountain. So we are in full support of that. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Chair McEwen and the committee, thank you very much for having us here today. My name is Bob Thurman and my wife, Margaret.
Welcome.
We represent ourselves, to begin with, Welch's Mountain Properties. Our company is located on Welch's Road in Welch's. And also, we're speaking on behalf of Skyway Bar and Grill and Zigzag, Mount Hood Bicycle Pedestrian Coalition, Mount Hood Ski Bowl, Port of Hood River, Port of Cascade Locks, Paul Blackburn, Mayor of Hood River, West Columbia Gorge Chamber of Commerce, and Oregon Recreation and Park Association. I have some remarks I'd like to read to begin with. Mount Hood is the second most climbed mountain in the world, second only to Japan's Mount Fujiyama. Because Mount Hood is a celebrity icon, it deserves, in our opinion, a unique license plate that is an affirmation, if you will, of the connectivity of nature, business, and recreation and recreation of our spirit. With increased popularity of hiking and biking, we need to provide more funding and support for these growing tourist activities to promote more economic growth. And we'd like to call your attention specifically to one Mount Hood biking success story featured in the Wall Street Journal dated a few years ago, July 27, 2011. And Margaret's going to point to their focus.
We brought a piece of mountain history that shows you.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Very nice.
Yeah. Blow up from a flyer that we picked up at the Mount Hood Cultural Center in Government Camp. And it's from the 30s. In fact, it's old enough, it does not even show Timberline Lodge on here. Wow. So it's been promoting the mountain and tourism for a long time. I put a little spot on the map, and he's going to be talking about Sandy Ridge. He's going to read from the Wall Street Journal.
One of the most extensive flow trail networks. A flow trail is a biking trail that mimics skiing downhill on a bicycle. Sandy Ridge is in the foothills of Mount Hood, Oregon, has cost about $700,000 to build since 2009, and another $300,000 or so to complete trailhead facilities. And this was remarks made by a BLM planner, Adam Milnor, BLM in Salem, Oregon. And continuing, taxpayers foot little, if any, of the extra expense for the flow trails. Trail managers say the money comes from such sources as grants and recreation fees that truly helps pay for it themselves by bringing in more visitor traffic. At Oregon's Sandy Ridge, 25,000 visitors a year, and this was in 2011, make use of a 6.5-mile network of flow trails constructed since 2009. The undeveloped trail prior to that time had only 500 users in a year. For this article, Sandy City Manager Scott Lazenby was interviewed, and he was hoping that local businesses would pick up on the whole idea of mountain biking and have this coordination and collaboration between the two. Of course, Scott is now city manager of Lake Oswego. Last month, on a Saturday in February, Margaret and I observed 98 cars at Sandy Ridge in Brightwood, where we live. These were bikers of all ages, from toddlers with their three-wheel bicycles with training wheels in the parking lot to seniors. We'd like to end by asking your consideration for a mounted license plate that reflects our pride of place and supports economic development in our area. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thurman. Ms. Thurman, did you have any comments to make?
You know, I just feel that the mountain, we do attract a lot of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
The last two winters, skiing has not been very good for the mountain. You know, this spring, this winter, all the trailheads are full of cars. Sandy Ridge has been very popular. You know, anything we can do to create more infrastructure to support bikers, hikers, people that want to enjoy the mountain when the slopes are not really providing all the snow we need for recreation.
Thank you so much.
Lots of options on the mountain.
Committee members, do you have questions for this panel? Yes, Vice Chair Davis.
Thank you, Chair. And I'll just ask the same question I asked the last panel. Any sense from you or anybody else who testified about the demand and how many the numbers that this could produce?
You know, not really knowing, but my feeling, personal feeling, Mount Hood is, everybody claims that it's its symbol. Portland says it's our mountain. You know, we say it's our mountain. We live up there. It's very popular, a lot of people up there. I think it's a major representative and an icon for our state. I think it would be a very popular option.
Endless numbers of people.
Endless numbers.
Might like to have that
license. Tons of people, if you will.
And there's a big enough biking community, if they know it's
sure.
going to help create more biking and hiking, you know, infrastructure, I would think that would influence people's choices as well.
If you want to be natural, if you want to be organic, come to Mount Hood.
A good logo. Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just to build on the thought, do you guys have a budget for selling the plate? In other words, it's one thing to hope everybody will buy it, but perhaps you have something in mind to market it.
You know, Mark was the one talking about that, so I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Would you like to join us, Representative? I think we have a fourth chair here.
We can do that, no problem.
We have 2 minutes left on this panel, so your time is good.
Chair McKeown, Rep. Benz, we have extensive support from Chambers of Commerce and other private individuals. You heard Ski Bowl referenced. I think Timberline Lodge is also supportive of Mount Hood Meadows. So I don't have any doubts about being able to raise the capital necessary to go forward with the first edition. So lots of support around the mountain.
One follow-up.
Yes, sir.
And consistent with the concept of marketing, is there what's the scheme when it comes to designing the plate that's going to be so startlingly attractive that everyone will flock to buy it?
They'll be flying off the shelves like hotcakes, right? Well, that'll be an interesting discussion to have, because obviously our mountain has multi facets. And I grew up watching the north side, and to everybody who lives in the Hoosier Valley, that's Mount Hood. You go to the other side, they see the Timberline side, and that's Mount Hood for them. So it'll be a very good conversation to have determining a side. I would love to think about some sort of a hologram, depending on which side you're looking at. It could flip south to north.
We'll have to ask Ms. Joyce what kind of cost that adds to the production of that plate. Yes.
So it'll be a very good discussion to have, and I wouldn't mind putting, frankly, a little bike in the corner. I think would be appropriate as well.
I have a follow-up to that.
Yes, Representative Benz.
I want that hologram feature on the numbers on my plate, because I drive a lot back and forth. Just saying.
We'll talk to O'Donnell.
Any other questions for this panel? Impeccable timing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I will close the hearing. Here are my numbers on House Bill 3027, and I will open a hearing on House Bill 2686. I believe Representative Gomberg is here to talk about gray whales. Thank you for being here, Representative.
Oh, thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Oh, look at this.
A mock-up.
Game. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Oregon coast. It is whale watching week in Oregon, and right on schedule, we are here to bring the gray whale back.
Oh, look at this. Thank you.
Right
sir.
On schedule.
Very serendipitous, Representative Gomberg.
Well, I will tell you, and I should say that that the whales have returned to this committee, as most of you know. Mm-hmm. I'm very pleased to be here today to present a proposal for a coastal playground license plate. And I say I'm pleased for three reasons. First of all, I wanted to talk about the messaging here, because our license plates say so very much about who we are and what we're trying to say about ourselves. And we have plates that represent the Cascades. We got plates for the wine country, for Crater Lake. We have a proposal before you for Mount Hood. We don't have anything for the beach, the Oregon coast. One of our major destinations, our major strong points, and this plate is going to say something very important about promoting tourism and promoting destination visits to a critical part of the Oregon economy. I'm also pleased to be here because I think the messaging is significant and the topic, and that is the gray whales. We have a unique situation in Oregon in that we have resident whales. No place else in the world do you find whales that stay here year-round. And yet during Whale Watch Week right now, we've got populations going up and down the coast, 40,000 people coming to the Oregon coast to look at whales right off the beach. You can take a boat out and get a close look, but you can see them from your hotel balcony just as easily. And of course, this plate is going to support the Marine Mammal Institute at the Hatfield Center, and you're going to hear more about that in just a moment. The third topic that I wanted to touch on is the financing, because the money is in place already for this proposal. It's not state money. With all due respect to the other proposals before you today, we're not talking about general fund dollars. We're not talking about non-specific potential sources of funding. The money's in the bank, in place, ready to go as soon as we get the green light from all of you. Those are the three points I wanted to touch on. I know that time is tight, so I'm going to turn the microphones over to some of the other people that have come to talk to you about this exciting opportunity.
Thank you so much.
I believe I'm next up. Thank you, Madam Chairman and committee, for hearing this bill today. I'm Dr. Bruce Maid. I'm a director of the Marine Mammal Institute at Oregon State University. I've been at Oregon State for 42 years and still enjoying the benefits of one of our great institutions. I might add, I graduated from U of O, so I've had both sides of that coin, you know, and very pleased about that. And one of our great resources in the state is the coast. The plate celebrates gray whales. It is the only endangered species of whale to recover from being on the endangered species list. There are about 20,000 of these animals now, and we have about 200 of them in the Pacific Northwest throughout the summer feeding season, which is the reason why they are really our whales. They're year-round residents. They're 95% of all the whales that we see from shore, large whales. So people who come to the coast and see a whale, you can pretty predictably say, yeah, that's a gray whale. Be right almost all the time. The plate would be only the second animal plate that the state of Oregon has, second to the salmon plate, and the only plate to promote coastal tourism. As Representative Gomberg said, there'll be no cost to the state of Oregon. Marine Mammal Institute is prepared to pay the development charges for this plate. last session of the legislature, this plate idea sneaked out on the front page of the Oregonian. We got hundreds of calls from people who said, where can we get this? We're ready. And not a single negative comment. Pretty amazing. The letters of support that have been sent in, I know, include from the University of Oregon's Oregon Institute of Marine Biology and also from Portland State University, which are organizations that share in our marine mammal stranding network. It's a very well coordinated effort. We have about 700 to 800 strandings of marine mammals a year in the state of Oregon. They represent both a concern and also a resource. The resource part is that there are ocean health issues. These are mammals out there, and if they're having issues, we need to know why and how. So the Stranding Network, by the way, is coordinated with the Department College of Veterinary Medicine, where we have five people on the faculty who got their degrees doing marine mammal work. So our students in marine mammal and veterinary medicine are the only students out of 28 universities that have veterinary science degrees that have access to marine mammal material routinely. So they have one of the big advantages if they go into that kind of a field. I also know that the owners of Sea Lion Caves, one of the largest coastal attractions, has written in support of this. Oregon has the largest volunteer network for whale watching. Representative Gomberg mentioned 40,000 folks in a two-week period are going to be assisted in seeing marine mammals by the staff of about 1,000 volunteer whale watch folks. And I've been pleased to help promote that in the 37 years since that program's been in place, and the folks are wonderfully energetic. The things that the research can do that will be funded by this plate not only includes the Marine Mammal Stranding Network, where federal funding is disappearing, but also information that will be helpful to our coastal fisheries, looking at ocean health and of common interest to coastal communities, and also the variability of the ocean, which we would like much better to understand how that relates to fisheries sustainability. Coastal tourism is a very important part of our rural coastal economy. The image that we've selected here asks people to conjure up in coastal playgrounds both animals enjoying our coast and people coming to the beach and enjoying those natural resources. So we hope you'll join us. I will anticipate Representative Davis's question and say that we expect 10 to 20,000 of these plates to be a reasonable estimate in the initial years. And I know there's a 5,000 plate minimum. We think we'll be able to satisfy that without any problem whatsoever. And I'm going to pass it over to Dr. Hans Radke.
Dr. Radke, welcome to our committee.
Madam Chair and my representative from the coast and the members of the committee, my name is Hans Radke. I'm a natural resource economist. I live on the Oregon coast right between Cape Perpetua and Sea Lion Caves, and I was wondering what brought all those people to the coast today as I was driving up. It's whale watching week.
Of course.
And I've worked on natural resource issues here on the coast now for over 30 years as a private consultant, and also I've been involved other issues with natural resources from the Elliott Forest to every other issue I think that's come up. And I've also been a member of the Pacific Fishery Management Council and also a chair. So my point is that marine resources basically is support of a lot of our coastal communities, and especially in Oregon. And whale watching is now becoming one of these issues around the world. Just this morning I looked up some studies that have been done around the world, and it brings in a lot of significant revenues to coastal communities. These people spend money, and those monies that they spend means jobs to Oregon. So, and it's a growing business, and I think we can, a lot of it we can attribute to our Professor Bruce Mate here. His work on the Oregon coast and down in the Baja in Mexico, as well as Bering Sea, has made Oregon State a real place on the map. And I think this would just help. We would identify us as being part of this coast, part of the Oregon State, as a real marine institute for learning and for also for people to enjoy the coast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Commissioner, welcome.
I am Commissioner Terry Thompson, and I have the honor of sponsoring the original salmon license plate, the most successful license plate that's been developed in Oregon. And I feel that this whale one may do just as well, and I think it will do really well. I don't know if it'll beat the Oregon salmon license plate, but when I'm out meeting people and I mention it, it's amazing how many people want to know where they can get this, because whales in this state are a passion. It's built up because of the tourist industry down there, in the unique situation where if you're standing on Cape Perpetua in your district, you can many times see, you know, 20 or 30 at a time there and watch tails. They're close enough to, you can watch them from the beach. Depot Bay, which I fish out of now quite a bit, is the year-round area where they're there almost literally every day. And a lot of times they're so close to me, I have to pick my gear up to get out of the way. And if I get offshore a little bit, I've got other whales besides the gray whale there. It's unique and offers a tremendous tourist potential. It's grown dramatically just in the few years that I've been fishing out of Depot Bay. Normally my port's been out of Newport, but I've just watched more and more people come, and it's a passion to go out there and see them and see people excited in a non-consumptive use of our resources. This is a great thing, and I'm wholly in favor of this license plate being offered. Remember, a license plate is a gift from the people to whichever organization it is, and I think the people will contribute to this and the Marine Mammal Program.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. Do we have questions for this panel?
I have one brief question.
Yes, Vice Chair Gorsuch.
So, Representative Gomberg, thank you. Representative Gomberg, would this be like the Crater Lake plate, which I think is kind of a non-metal sort of plate? Would this be a metal with raised letters, or would it be the more of the Crater Lake style?
We envision this to be a metal plate that will survive for generations.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Certainly. And Dr. Mead, I have to comment. I too, began my career at the University of Oregon and transferred to Oregon State. So I join you in having a mixed background. And I can go about 12 minutes from my house and be out at Cape Arago, which happens to be in Representative Krieger's district. the work that volunteers do on this project is remarkable. We have a number of spots up and down the coast where people are well-trained and provide an amazing service when they volunteer and go out and offer information to our tourists that come and enjoy our wonderful coast. So I just wanted to note that it is an amazing thing that happens during a couple different times a year when our volunteer corps is just out in force helping educate people about what's going on with the whales out off our coasts. But I wish it was in my district, but it's not. But I can come up to Cape Perpetua and watch them up there, too. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. You've made our argument for us, of course. But I just want to stress, the money is in place, and it's not state money, that we've got a message here which is both fun and educational, with proven support, and it's an opportunity to promote not only those subjects, but also to support the coastal economy. So we hope you'll look favorable on this proposal.
Thank you so much.
If I may offer, too, the benefits that will be generated from this will be spread up and down the coast through multiple universities that are already collaborating, and we'll do some good work, and we'll make you proud of this investment.
Thank you for being here. Mr. Rollator, did you want to comment on this bill? I have you listed on the witness list. We have about 7 minutes, so you're in good shape.
Oh, I never talked that long.
Thank you for joining us today.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. Here at the legislature, I represent Seafood Oregon, which is the commodity commissions of commercial fishermen. I actually went to both colleges in graduate school in this state, and I had a period of time that I was a roommate with in an office with Bruce. So I've been interested in whales for a long time, and back in the 80s, I was running a charter boat. I ran a charter boat business out of Depot Bay, and when ocean productivity changed, we mostly were salmon fishermen. We took tourists, we took people out and caught, helped them catch salmon. When salmon productivity dropped in that first El Nino, we all had boats to pay for and families to support, so we looked for something else to do, and we started taking whale watch trips. And I'll tell you, I have made a lot of boat payments over those years, taking tourists out and showing them what a whale's like very close. At Depot Bay, we frequently saw cow-calf pairs in the kelp. We were able to come up and stop and have them come right up to our boats. And I have to say that it was very interesting to learn how much people wanted to learn about whales and wanted to get close to whales. And it was something that we just saw all days. And so it wasn't really significant to us until we figured out what it meant to the general public. So I support this bill. The Marine Mammal Institute does a lot of really good research about whales and seals and sea lions and sea otters. And I followed Bruce's career around the world. So thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Yes, sure. Vice Chair Gorsuch.
I'm used to seeing you at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, so. As am I.
Man, you're getting around.
Yes. Fishermen have a variety of things that we're interested in.
Thank you. And on that note, I will, close the hearing on House Bill 2686 and open a hearing on House Bill 3232. Representative McLean, and I believe...
Very esteemed panel to follow.
And I will also call up, is there any particular order, Representative McLean, that you would like the others to come?
I believe it's listed right there in that order.
Okay, did you want to just start off and then I'll call them after you so we can fit everybody? Okay.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Committee. Thank you for letting me actually testify today in front of this committee. First of all, I'm just excited to be here today during License Plate Day. I've never experienced one before, and I found a lot of really important and interesting information. And I think this program and all of the different elements...
Representative, I do mind.
Oh, yes.
I'll need
Susan
to have
McLean.
You introduce yourself.
Susan McLean, State Representative from House District 29, is West Hillsborough, Cornelius, and Forest Grove. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
I'm honored to testify in front of you today regarding House Bill 3232. This bill will help raise more funds to support early detection and treatment for all Oregonians by directing the Department of Transportation to establish a breast cancer awareness registration plate, which I believe you have over here or will be there soon. And if you don't have it, I've got an example of one that they have up in the Washington area. And we are one of the only states that does not have this type of a plate. And of course, you've heard some wonderful things about other plates today, and I think they're all worthy of consideration. This one, I think, is really an interesting one, an important one, because it's about prevention. You may have heard a lot of times about the research elements, but they're finding really and truly that one of the best ways to stop this leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States is really education and early prevention. My husband died of cancer in 2009, and I also have an aunt who has had breast cancer, and one of the reasons that she's still alive at 82 is because she had early detection of breast cancer. And so I think it's important for us to remember that we need to research for the solution to cancer, but we also need to make sure we get those tests and get people in early. There's going to be a very esteemed panel that's going to follow me, and they will probably give you some more information about that. But I do want to say that I urge you to look at House Bill 3232, which will provide support for that early detection program offered by the Oregon Health Authority, and continue to ensure that all women have the access to this type of medical care, and they need it for a healthy and long life. I also want to point out that there is an amendment, and that amendment has been drafted because we were in the bill originally, House Bill 3232, referencing ORS 414.534, which relates to the treatment treatment of breast and cervical cancer, and this amendment removes that reference as the bill really relates to preventative measures and early screening. I would really like to have the other panel come up now and give you some more specifics about where the money would go, what the money would be used for, and how they see this as being an important element of helping with the disease of cancer and another way for us to allow people to do some good work by helping with prevention and making sure that we have the type of information out there that folks need to protect their health and their lives. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. And I will call up Troy Rayburn, Margaret Riggs Klein, Jan Frank, and I'm not going to get the next one correct. Help me out. Trevor?
Tina.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't read the handwriting very well. And please, in any order that you choose. Welcome, Mr. Rayburn.
Thank you, ma'am.
Back to our committee.
Yes, it's good to be back amongst familiar faces.
Thank you for being with us today. I was wondering if that looks like Mount St. Helens, but if we could just raise the top a little, maybe we could make it a Mount Hood cat, yeah. And we could do something creative here. See,
that's what it's like in the other corner.
Please begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Troy Rayburn. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, which is the advocacy arm of the American Cancer Society. I'll let these.
And I may just for a moment, just so people understand the reference to our new members. Troy was the staff person for this committee in the last session, so he's very familiar with this seat. So.
And I learned it all from Patrick.
Wow, Patrick. So, please be.
Yep. Thank you, ma'am. The American Cancer Society supports House Bill 3232 because it assists in the funding of breast and cervical cancer by appropriating a portion of the funds raised to the Oregon Health Authority related to early detection screening. As you know, committee members, the Oregon Breast and Cervical Cancer Program helps low-income, uninsured, and medically underserved women gain access to life-saving screening programs for early detection of breast and cervical cancers. Each year, approximately 5,000 eligible individuals receive such services. Breast cancer is the most common cancer among women, accounting for nearly one of every four cancers diagnosed in U.S. women. Although cervical cancers occur less frequently, minority and medically underserved women are disproportionately affected and experience higher incident rates of this type of cancer. Increased use of effective screening tools, primarily mammography and Pap tests, are helping to increase the cervical survival rate of these cancers. For example, precancerous cervical lesions detected by Pap tests can be treated before they progress to cancer, resulting in nearly 100% survival rate. And early detection of breast cancer through mammography greatly improves the chances of successful treatment and survival. Once again, please support House Bill 3232 due to its funding assistance to the Oregon Health Authority's Breast and Cervical Cancer Program for early detection services for low-income and other medically underserved women.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good
afternoon.
For the record, I'm Margaret Riggs Klein, and I'm the Director of Programs and Operations for Susan G. Komen of Oregon and Southwest Washington. Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for hearing House Bill 3232 and inviting testimony from Susan G. Komen of Oregon and Southwest Washington. Susan G. Komen is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization and the largest private funder of breast cancer research and support in the United States. The mission of Susan G. Komen is to save lives and end breast cancer forever through empowering individuals, ensuring quality of care for all, and energizing science to find cures. Susan G. Komen, Oregon and Southwest Washington, supports House Bill 3232 because it assists in the funding of breast and cervical cancer screening by appropriating a portion of the funds raised to the Oregon Health Authority related to early detection screening. The Oregon Breast and Cervical Cancer Program, as Troy mentioned, helps low-income, uninsured, and medically underserved women gain access to life screening programs for early detection of breast and cervical cancers. Each year, approximately 5,000 individuals receive these screening services. Breast cancer, as Troy noted, is the most common cancer among women. accounting for nearly one of every four women, one of every four cancers diagnosed in the United States among women. Oregon and Washington have some of the highest rates of breast cancer in the country. This week in our state, 70 women will hear the words, "You have breast cancer." And this week, another 10 will die. When you multiply this by 52 weeks in any given year, for me, this raises the question, isn't it time that we end breast cancer? For those screened and with cancer detected early, the five-year survival rate is 99%. However, when screening is delayed, the survival rate drops dramatically to the low 70s. Currently in Oregon, only 74% of women are being screened for breast cancer. Considering screening rates among race and ethnicity, rates among African American women are most concerning at 57%, leaving 43% of women unscreened. A combination of the use of screening tools for early detection, effective community programs, and appropriate treatment are winning the war on cancer and saving thousands of lives every year. Please support House Bill 3232 due to its assistance in funding the Oregon Health Authority's Breast and Cervical Cancer Program. Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jan Frankie. I'm here as a breast cancer survivor, fortunately. My life changed radically in May of 2001. After being diagnosed with breast cancer, I spent about 6 months undergoing surgery, radiation, and working to get my strength back. As a high school teacher, I had a busy work life. I had two teenage, college-age daughters, and I also helped on our Christmas tree farm. When you get a diagnosis of a serious illness, many will tell you that you immediately start examining your life and the values by which you live. While it was a journey that I would not choose, I now value what I learned about myself and my family. You will meet people who say it's the best thing that ever happened to me, but it's long after the treatment's over. Within a year of my diagnosis, I joined the Komen Southwest Washington affiliate as a volunteer advocate. My background as a social studies teacher was a natural fit for speaking on behalf of the organization, and my experience as a survivor, I believe, lent credibility to my words. As a teacher, I had great insurance. As a wife, mother, sister, and daughter, I had exceptional support on my journey. Early detection through a routine checkup meant I was diagnosed early with, at that time, a 95% survival rate. Many in our community are not so blessed. Some have inadequate insurance, some have none at all. They still have the roles of wife, mother, sister, and daughter to fill. Life doesn't stop when you're a cancer patient, and one certainly does not want life to stop. In the intervening years, we have had a success in funding and treatment strategies which have been developed, all of which have resulted in now a 99% survival rate if the disease is detected early. And therein lies the issue about which we speak today. Early detection saves lives and is less costly than late-stage treatment. The breast cancer license plate will allow more Oregonians awareness, access to screening, and treatment in order to save a wife, a mother, a sister, a daughter, or a husband, a father, and so on. I thank you for this opportunity to speak with you today, hoping that you will support 3232, and I would be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm usually used to a different committee, Veterans Committee, because I'm a veteran advocate, but today I'm here as a friend.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. Maureen is a very good friend of mine. She works for...
And may I have your name, please? For the record.
Tina Olson from Wilsonville, Oregon.
Thank you.
And this is a picture of Maureen. She works in Clackamas County Solutions, Business Solutions down there, and I can pass that around if you want to look at her there. But I got a written piece for you. Maureen and I would envision a breast cancer license plate that would serve as a moving billboard while raising money and public consciousness at the same time. We cannot stress the importance of this bill because Maureen's dream passed in Washington. And she worked really tirelessly over this when she had cancer. So Maureen approached her state senator up in Washington and got passed unanimously, passed the House. And ironically, when the bill got passed, she got diagnosed twice for breast cancer. And she found out by a routine exam. This is why I stress this bill, because to watch her go through chemo again and radiation, and today she's not here because she's going through her last radiation today, it's taken so much out of her. But the reason I care is because she shows so much compassion down there for veterans. She does. And she deserves this. Thank you.
Well, please send her our very best wishes for a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
I hope things go very well for her. Do we have questions for this panel? Vice Chair Davis.
Thank you, and thank you so much for testifying today. My mom's a breast cancer survivor recently, just a few years ago, and doing quite well. And anyway, I just want to thank you very much for your advocacy. I have a question about, you're presenting the Washington plate as a potential model, and it strikes me just as looking at it as it's very similar to our group plates in that the pink ribbon is on the left side of the plate. Would you be open to a group plate option? I know that's a very specific question, but it does offer a sometimes expedited path to obtaining a license plate.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Davis, thank you for the question. I'll probably have to defer to Representative McLean and Representative Kennemer at some point, but yes, we would be open to the idea, but I will defer to their wise judgment.
And I think it's safe to say that I probably don't know a soul who hasn't been touched at some point by breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've all experienced some hint of it or more. And I, too, appreciate your advocacy and the good work that you do to support this important cause. So thank you for your good work.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us.
Please. Yes. Representative Kennemer, did you want to come up and testify also? Pleasure to have you here today, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Bill Kennemer, State Representative, District 39, and a special thanks to my co-chief sponsor, Representative McLean, for her support. I thought maybe to wrap it up, I'd talk a little bit about my own experience, or my wife and my experience, my first wife and my experience. It's about 25 years ago that this goes back, and my interest in this issue comes. Sharon went in for a routine mammogram, which you're supposed to do, and they found a little spot. They didn't think it was anything, and then it turned out to be a tumor. And I got to say, the next 90 days were, I think, the most traumatic days of my life. I don't think there was a single day that there wasn't new bad news. And things got very desperate, and then I remember the day I came home from work, because I had to go back to work, and she said, I'm not going to be able to see Billy graduate from high school, which was, from eighth grade, which is about 6 months away. And that was clearly true, it seemed. And she says, would it be okay if I give up? And sorry. But anyhow, I was able to say, I don't think that's a choice for me. I'll support what you choose. And went off and cried for quite a while. But she made a choice, and between surgeries and amazing medications, she started taking some new medications, and she had about four series of medications. She missed Billy's graduation from college by less than a month. Mm-hmm. 8.5 years, and most of that was high-quality life. And I think that's the amazing thing about modern treatment. There are two things. One is early detection works. And that's, I love that slogan on there. I hope maybe we can do something like that. The second thing is that the advances in medication now, her treatment initially when was determined what it really was untreatable. Nowadays, it's almost a guarantee that she would be cancer-free. So I think it's a new opportunity, and the issue is, how do we create awareness? Well, we've got lots of ads, but we have millions of cars that are running around. We could have thousands of license plates. I suspect this might well be one of the most successful license plates out there. And as you said, Madam Chair, I don't suspect there's any of us that haven't been touched either very closely or indirectly with this. So I would encourage your support for this. I think it's a great idea. It's a way to help, and it'll save lives, literally.
Thank you, Representative. Questions?
Thank you.
I believe we're complete. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
being here.
Very much for your time and consideration.
And I will close the
please
hearing.
Vote yes.
Oh, thank you, Representative. Close the hearing on House Bill 3232 and open a hearing on our final license plate of the day, House Bill 2669, the Wildlife Conservation Plate. Now, I have Representative Buckley down, but he's not going to be here today. Is that correct? I have Quinn Reed and Joe Rollator. Thank you for being here to represent this. Thank you. In any particular order, whatever you choose is fine.
Any particular order.
Ms. Reed.
Good afternoon, Chair McEwen and members of the committee. My name is Quinn Reed, and I represent Oregon Wild. We are an organization that represents 15,000 members and supporters from across the state of Oregon. Our mission is to protect and restore Oregon's wildlands, wildlife, and waters as an enduring legacy for all Oregonians. So we're very happy to be here today in support of House Bill 2669, which will establish an endangered species, or rather a wildlife conservation license plate, with the revenues going to support non-game wildlife conservation programs at the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. I have to say, as an aside, there are so many great concepts here today. I didn't know that license plates were such a rich vein. I'm wondering how many I can legally display on the back of my car. I can just
That's a good idea.
In any case, I just wanted to start off with a little bit of context for why this particular plate is important right now. So, as many of you know, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is faced with rather unprecedented budget shortfalls. So this year, it's $32 million. That is a pretty big gap, and it is leaving the agency without enough resources to fulfill its larger conservation mission. And that's something we are hoping to remedy. So currently, the Department of Fish and Wildlife relies almost exclusively on sales from hunting and fishing licenses, which is a great model, except that if we see a decline, as we have in public participation in those numbers, you get a larger and larger budget gap. So that's where we're looking at this year, looking for solutions. Oregon Wild is working with a coalition of groups from the conservation, the hunting, and the angling communities to look for creative ways to find new sources of revenue for the agency, not just for its traditional base of programming that supports game wildlife, but also for its broader conservation mission to support non-game wildlife conservation. So as part of this coalition, again, what we're not seeing is one great, you know, magic pill that solves the agency's problem. You know, we can't do this in one fell swoop. And unfortunately, that means we have to look at a lot of different pieces to help fill the gap and make this agency sustainable over the long term. So that's where we see this license plate fitting in. So with revenue from this bill going toward fish and wildlife conservation at the agency, we think we can help make a difference and establish a good precedent for capturing new sources of revenue for the agency. I should mention that the bill at this point suggests that the image should be an endangered wolf. So why is that the proposed image? That's for a couple of reasons. One is that endangered gray wolves have been a fantastic conservation success story for the state. It's an area where Oregon has shown tremendous leadership. You may have seen in the news recently, ODFW released recent numbers. Its most recent wolf census shows that we have 77 wolves in the state. That made national headlines, which is pretty exciting. We are also home to a celebrity wolf, the Justin Bieber of wolves. This is OR7, the wolf who is most notable for traveling all the way from the northeastern corner of the state over the border into California and back.
All the girls are in California.
True. So for a number of reasons, we think wolves are a wonderful symbol of this state's leadership in protecting threatened and endangered species. To provide some numbers to back this up, when we heard that this bill was up for hearing, we thought, oh, what can we do to kind of gauge people's interest in this? So we put together a rather quick survey on social media just to see, you know, hey, would you be willing to buy this plate? And we did a little mock-up with a wolf on it, and in less than 2 days, we had over 1,200 respondents say yes. So that's 1,200 people in less than 2 days without any paid promotion. Really, that was just sort of organic passing around social media. So we think the prospects are actually quite good that this could sell well. If it follows the Wisconsin model, which I think is rather likely, in Wisconsin, they sold approximately 20,000 plates. It brought in about $500,000 a year, which would be, gosh, to be able to fund a couple of biologist positions at the agency would be just fantastic. So that's what we're looking at. Again, the Wisconsin model is an interesting one. For the first 5 years, it was a wolf plate, and then it transitioned to badgers, another species from that state. So it gave people another option to sort of continue their support and maybe even amp up their support in on a timeline.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really?
Chair McCon, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. I represent Seafood Oregon, which is the commercial fishermen that work on the ocean, and Oregon Outdoor Council, which is a group of hunters and recreational anglers. I kind of thought the sea cucumber would be a better candidate.
Hey, talk to Representative Gomberg about
yes,
this.
Yes.
Representative Gomberg needs to hear that.
How many of you seen a sea cucumber? No, actually, yes, I'm sure.
Are adorable.
My group support this because Quinn and I are both on two subcommittees, or two work groups that were appointed by the chair of the House Ag Committee to work on funding and habitat, and this fits right in exactly what we're talking about in those committees. And over the years, the folks that I represent have really looked for ways to cover some of these other animals. And ODF, as Quinn said, ODFW's been largely funded by fish and wildlife fees. But we've been looking for a long time. We tried some big hunks of money that didn't come in, and Quinn's exactly right. We're going to have to do this a piece at a time. Sage grouse are going to be a part of the conservation strategy. And had we had an active conservation strategy 25 years ago, I believe that we would have had the information available to answer the questions about what it takes to keep the sage grouse off the list when that became an issue about 5 years ago. I certainly support this. The conservation strategy is not just about terrestrial organisms. It's also about the Oregon nearshore strategy, and that's all the critters that live on the bottom that we don't fish on. And that includes the corals and the sea cucumbers and everything else. So it's a very broad strategy. It's very useful to somebody who wants to find out about a particular little critter, the niche that they live in. You can go to the Oregon Wildlife webpage. You can go to the conservation strategy. You can get maps. You can find out about the particular things that this critter needs, where it lives, what it lives on, what you can do as a property owner to improve the fate of that particular animal that lives near your area. So we support this. We understand there are a lot of other things, but that are asking for wildlife license plates or for license plates. But I do support this one too. Thank you very much.
Any questions for this panel? Vice Chair Gorsuch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as the Chair knows, we've been discussing quite a bit of these things in the Ag and Natural Resources Committee. And it's very true. ODFW is really struggling And this is a very interesting way of trying to generate some revenues for that very ailing agency. We really need to do something there because it's getting pretty desperate. And for those of you who don't know, the sage grouse, that's part of the juniper.
Oh.
And, you know, the expansion of juniper, taking out the sage grouse habitat. And so now we're trying to play catch up to fix that as well. So it's definitely a worthy cause. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you very
I will
much.
Close the hearing on House Bill. Does anyone else want to comment? I see one member left standing or sitting.
Oh, look.
You didn't want to comment on this bill, I assume. I will close the hearing on House Bill 2669. Ms. Joyce, would you mind joining us up at the dais just to wrap up? Help us get a handle on, you know, all of this information that we've received today, and you know, we had five esteemed panels. We have great suggestions, and I just wanted to give the committee an opportunity, now that we've heard everything and we've seen the bill comparison chart that was put together for us today, if you have any follow-up questions for Ms. Joyce as to
actually,
do you have all the information that you need? Vice Chair Gorsuch.
So the one thing, thank you, Madam Chair, the one thing I notice in our little bill matrix here is that three of them talk about the repeal of the specialty plate limitation, and that's what's currently in statute now, which you explained the other day. I noticed, though, that the Mount Hood increases the limitation, and then the gray whale doesn't count. So it looks like in most cases, the folks that have been bringing these bills forward are trying to have us not only approve the plate, but they're also interested in that limitation. Can you tell me how long that, can you remind me again how long that limitation has been in place? Because I remember you were talking about that in previous testimony.
Chair McEwen and Vice Chair Gorsuch, again, Amy Joyce for the record. The limitation's been in place since 2003. That was the year on Friday I mentioned there were 9 plate bills that
right.
session. And instead what the legislature passed was that limit of in 2003.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Vice Chair Davis.
And thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for being here Friday and today to testify. I was just looking online to try to find the PowerPoint that included the trend lines, so maybe you could email it to the committee. If we are currently under current law, we are bound by the 5-plate limit, and it would be interesting to see, I think, which of those 5 may not be very popular these days. And if you could also send the numbers to the yearly numbers, yes. That would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Chair McEwen and Vice Chair Davis, I will do that.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative McLean.
Because of the question that was asked, what about the difference in changing from a specialty to a group plate for that one? Did you were here during that discussion?
For the breast cancer
For the
plate,
breast cancer early McLean. Detection?
Is it a
fit?
And Representative McLean, so I was here for that discussion. So one of the nuances of group plates that I probably skipped on Friday is the statute lays out what can be on a group plate. As a nonprofit is how I think this would go, because it's not a veteran situation or a higher learning. The statute provides that what can be on that plate is the stamped name of the group. So to get any kind of like a decal with, I'm pointing at the desk because it's still here mm-hmm. in front of me, like the decal with the pink ribbon would require a statutory provision. Mm-hmm. It would then avoid the limit. It would fall under that group situation. The cost is less, but then subject to all those sales and other restrictions as well. So the bill could simply be changed to turn it into a group plate.
So a tweak in the language to allow a symbol as opposed to a name. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Chair McEwen, yes.
Okay. Is that correct? Ms. Joyce, I'd be interested to know, you know, you've heard a lot of testimony today, and you've been through this for a long period of time. Do you have a sense as to what the cost to the state would be, or the cost to DMV or ODOT would be, should all 5 of these move forward?
Chair McEwen, that's an interesting question. On the one hand, if all 5 were to be adopted, I think that when we say, you know, $89,000 for each, there would be some efficiencies gained, so there wouldn't be $89,000 for each. The flip side of that is then you've got these five new plates, all the production, all the administration. A couple of years ago, DMV had to find a new room to store all of the plate stock because the one room is on the second floor and could no longer bear the weight of all the plates literally in the room, so they had to find a second room to store more plates. No. We're going to look at a third room. But, I mean, so they're just, you know, yes, there are economies, efficiencies to be gained by both of them, the computer programming, you know, that sort of thing on the cost side. But on the expense side, five new plates at one time is would be a heavy, heavy lift for the agency.
No pun intended, I assume.
No, it wasn't, but thank you.
I would also be interested in your, using your experience and your expertise. I believe you referenced a number that stuck with me, and it was over the course of plates coming and going that 10% of the population who's willing to pay that extra has been relatively steady.
That's correct, Chair. Thank you.
So adding multiple more plates. Do you have a sense as to, you know, in your best estimate, if that 10% is going to change over time?
Chair McEwen, I would say that over time that 10% has stayed relatively constant. You get a little more population, that 10% gets to be a little bit bigger number of individuals. Certainly different things have a little bit more interest. When a plate is introduced, there's initially kind of a bump, and then it gets back to what I tend to call, you know, a new normal, and it tends to be that 10%. So that's why I talked about on Friday, you start kind of grabbing from other plates. You know, will people switch from a salmon to a wildlife or a cultural trust to a trailblazer or whatever? So, right.
Thank you. Other questions? Representative Benz.
Madam Chair, so it seems like the goal has always been to find something more than the money that these plates generated to make it worth the state's while, something that did indeed, kind of like our film credit discussion where we say, well, we'll give you the credit, but you've got to be promoting the state so that there's more going on there than just the dollars the thing generates. In your opinion, if it's the 10%, they're just cannibalizing each other's, you know, area, then the issue would be, if we're going to let someone into that defined area, what else are we getting out of that plate? And that to me, because I was going to ask you what in your opinion, having observed plates come into the program and then fall out of the program, were there any lessons to be learned from that? And I was going to assume that perhaps you're going to tell us that some of those folks had marketing programs and they really actively sold those plates. But I didn't. What would you tell us? What is the mark of a really successful plate?
Chair McEwen and Representative Benz, I think there are a number of factors. I think one of them is marketing, although I will say with the kids' plate, that group had a fairly active marketing and very professional marketing materials that they came up with. I couldn't find a more worthy cause than preventing child abuse. So there's that. The initial fee, I think, is definitely something to look at. People talk about the Share the Road plate and how well it sells, and that's great. But think about what they charge, $10 one time, and you get Share the Road plates. You know, they have a bit of a built-in constituency in terms of active bicyclists. So, there, you know, those are two things, the fee, low fee one time, and then sort of that built-in constituency. Again, the attractiveness, it's all in the eye of the beholder, but the relative attractiveness of the plate. So any number of different things that impact sales.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you so much, Ms. Joyce, for sticking with us.
For the opportunity,
long
I do
afternoon.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to turn to Mr. Brennan to give us the highlights of Wednesday.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair.
We will be a few minutes early.
Wednesday, we have three hearings on Wednesday's agenda. Just for clarity, I should point out, in case you are unaware,
One of the three bills, House Bill 2281, it is not the speed bump bill. I apologize. We actually have a gut and stuff amendment that deals with the road usage charge pilot program. And then we have work sessions on four bills. And then because Friday's an in-district day, there's no meeting on Friday, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. On that note, we are.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all.